You are about to listen to a sermon preached on the 5th of February 2020 at South Shore Community Church, located on the South Shore of Montreal, and is part of the series, The Fruit of the Spirit. Pastor Matthew's sermon this week is entitled, The Result of the Spirit, Peace.
Well, I am now next up in line, and we are, as Pastor Jay was exploring or kind of sharing, that we have been going through the fruit of the Spirit, for the fruit of the Spirit. And so I'll be zeroing in today on the word peace. And I know I actually shared it on Facebook that I'll be speaking on this topic, and I had a number of people responding, yes, man, I can't wait. You know, this is going to be great. I can't wait to hear your story. Because today I'm going to try not to do too much teaching. I'll actually be kind of sharing part of my story. Probably most of you guys don't know this, unless you know me really well, but I actually struggle with pretty severe anxiety, and not everyone knows that about me. And I will even be sharing how about 4 years ago I went through a tremendous burnout that really just knocked me off my shoes, and I just want to share that. But I also will also start off by saying that I want to say a big thank you to every single one of you guys for grabbing an envelope over the last 2 weeks for our student ministry. So we had 47 envelopes for 47 students, and all 47 envelopes have been pretty much, in a sense, adopted or sponsored by members in this church. So thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That just means that all of our students are going to be now prayed for the next year, and hopefully more than just a year. So really, really excited about that. But I will intro by just saying this. That in terms of the Holy Spirit, whether it's a familiar topic to you or not, I just want to say that it's incredibly important. And let me tell you why the Holy Spirit is important. Because without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in you, you cannot in any way hold the title of Christian. Zero. It's very important. Number two, without the transformative work of the Holy Spirit, being a Christian is rigid, disjointed, boring, impractical, and irrelevant. Christianity just doesn't work. It's very difficult without the power of the Holy Spirit in you. And without the comforting support of the Holy Spirit, a robust Christian faith that can persevere for a lifetime through uncertainties is a reality that's just totally out of reach. So the Holy Spirit is incredibly important for you and I. And on top of that, the Holy Spirit is not going to just simply happen or just make itself known in one particular sermon as I'm sharing. It's something that you and I have to step into every single day, inviting the Holy Spirit, like Pastor Jay was saying, to kind of benefit into all that God has for all of us here in this room. The Holy Spirit is one of the most amazing gifts that Jesus has for you and I to live out our faith. So that's my little opener for you guys. But let's get started on this idea of peace. Now, I need peace, lots of it. I feel like you guys need peace too. I don't think there's really a huge need to kind of convince you guys that we have, in a sense, sometimes in moments, a lack of peace. And just to be very clear, as I talk about anxiety or mental breakdowns and whatnot, or this idea of a lack of peace, I'm not talking about regular, normal anxiety, which is very normal. Our bodies and anxiety is just chemicals rolling around in our brain. God put them there for reasons that when you're camping and you hear noises in the campground and you start freaking out, that's something really big and it's a squirrel. You know, but that anxiety that you feel is good, is normal. The anxiety you feel when you're walking down, maybe in Chinatown to like your best favorite restaurant, but it's like pitch black, and you don't know what could happen at any moment in that dark alley, that anxiety is okay. Okay? Because it basically awakens all of your senses to what could or could not happen. Okay? It just makes you alert. That is okay. God wired us for that kind of anxiety. Or even like a type of worry where just like going through like different stages of life, right? Like you bought a new house, and so there's a lot of new commitments to that. You're moving, for some of you guys, you literally immigrated from one country to the next. And so there's lots of stress involved in that. So I'm not talking about that, because that's normal. It's normal stress. It's normal anxiety. And the whole point of those chemicals that God has put into our brains for that is to keep us alive and awake, to keep us focused on the task at hand. It's normal stuff. So I'm talking about a lack of peace that is incredibly crippling, can be prone to mental breakdowns. It's a kind of lack of peace that you avoid trying to be really self-aware and actually feel what's really going on. You make yourself incredibly busy. You're constantly checking your cell phone all the time. You're running around and just absorbing tons of TV consumption to distract yourself from reality because it'll just knock you off your boat. Maybe there's a self-esteem issue that you're constantly being crushed under the magnifying glass of the opinions of others. And so you're just have an incessant worrying over that. Or maybe you're worrying based on upcoming pension plans, which you haven't fully figured out yet. Because the reality is, just even in Canada, only 50% of us in this room have a pension plan. And I know talking with, you know, my parents and so on and so forth, like people their own age, the idea of a pension plan, this idea of what about the future, is just becoming a more and more reality. And with that, and that kind of security can come an immense amount of stress, an immense amount of worry, an immense amount of anxiety. I'm talking about where there's like an anxiety, where there's a tension in your own life, where maybe you're waiting too long for the next step in life and you're not quite sure what to do. You don't know where to go. You don't know how to make the first move in any kind of thing. And the list goes on. So I don't want to paint this big picture, but I'm trying to make this point that there's a different kind of anxiety. I'm trying to talk about just the lack of peace that you and I can feel. And it's very normal. It's part of life. I have a rocking chair here, and the reason why I have it is because the image I have in my brain and the image I have definitely felt having struggled with anxiety for a very, very long time, especially going through a burnout, I definitely found that like a rocking chair, you can sit in it for so long, going back and forth, being so super active in your brain, and you're always just finding things to do to keep yourself occupied to kind of avoid what's really going on. The problem is you're rocking back and forth, rocking back and forth, rocking back and forth, but you're not going anywhere. And some of us in this room, I don't know what's been going on, but this is literally where you are. You are stuck in this rocking chair. And worry has you so crippled that you are unable to move forward in anything. You can't take any step forward in life. You have a tremendous fear of failure. There was actually a study done back in the 80s where they took a whole bunch of young infants and they asked them to throw a paper ball into a basket. And what they ended up doing was to see like if the kids would do it. And there was a huge number, I shouldn't say a huge, but there was a proportion of those little babies, these little infants, that actually purposely went to the furthest part of the room to throw their paper ball because they were so scared to miss. And the fear of failure and the worry and the stress that came with failing was even greater than the potential of actually succeeding. And so they would actually say, well, in their own mind, they would say, well, I missed because I was just so far on the other side of the room, it was impossible to even get into the basket. And some of us here in this room, maybe we still have that mentality where we're so fearful of failing that we'll actually put ourselves in a position to constantly fail and actually justify our failing because the fear of failing just doesn't have, we don't have the courage to even potentially succeed at anything. And so we're just stuck in a rocking chair, going back and forth, and not moving forward. That's the kind of lack of peace I'm talking about. Now, what are we going to do about all this? Jesus said something incredibly amazing in John chapter 14. And you guys can turn there, and we'll all read it together. John chapter 14. And I will wait for you guys to get there. I can be very patient this morning. That's okay. I'm in a rocking chair. I'm pretty relaxed. So John chapter 14, starting in verse 25. It will be written on the screen as well. And it says this. This is Jesus in his final hours before he went to the cross. There were three things that Jesus secures for us moments before he passes away and gives his life as a tremendous sacrifice for you and I. He secures for us faith, like tremendous, tremendous faith. So if you're here this morning and you have tremendous doubts or your faith is wavering, I can just say right off the bat that Jesus has secured that for you and you can go to him without fear. He also secures this idea of joy in here for his followers. So if you're here this morning and you're feeling incredibly overwhelmed or you haven't actually tasted anything happy in a very long time, that's been secured for you here. But we're not going to focus on those two. We're going to focus on the third one, which is just the peace. And he says this, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." Verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So if you're sitting in a rocking chair, this is what Jesus is saying to you. And just one observation from this, that motivated by pure love and generosity, Christ-centered peace is lavishly given without condition to the followers of Jesus. If you're in this room and you're a follower of Jesus, motivated by pure love and generosity, Christ-centered peace is lavishly given without condition to the followers of Jesus. What the heck does this mean? See, unlike popular advice, and maybe for some of us right now, you might be hoping, Matt, are you going to share like 10 keys, biblical keys, to like fighting anxiety, that when we leave this like sermon today, like I'll be just be totally healed? No. I'm not doing that today. I am going to bring you to the one person I know for sure, hands down, that can offer you a peace more than 10 keys to removing anxiety, and that's Jesus Christ alone. And that's what I'm going to do today. So unlike popular advice, you cannot buy peace from a pharmacy. You cannot achieve peace through human will or 10 keys or 10 strategies or breathe 10 really slowly. That doesn't work. It works, but not so much in terms of the peace that we actually need. Positive thinking, breathing techniques, having proper sleep, having proper exercise habits, or even eating habits. All these are good. All these are helpful. All these will always deal with the physiological. Remember I was saying at the beginning, anxiety is those chemicals, right? These will deal with that, but there's an even deeper peace, the lack of peace that will keep you in this chair, and it deals with the soul, and that's what only Christ alone can do. And like I said, right, motivated by pure love and generosity, Christ-centered peace is lavishly given without condition to the followers of Jesus. No, without condition. There's no conditions to this. What does this mean? God has no favoritism. I am not more better than you, even though I'm going to share my story. No one in this room is better than someone else. Your good deeds don't matter. Your tithing capacity doesn't matter. The volume or style of your worship music doesn't matter. The type of gospel-believing church that you attend doesn't matter. The gifts and talents that you possess and actually use within the church doesn't matter. Your personality, extrovert, introvert, doesn't matter. Even the length of time that you were a committed Christian doesn't matter. No conditions, all motivated out of God's character and his pure love and generosity towards you and me. So are you receiving this kind of peace? Is your heart longing for it? My story. So four years ago, I graduated Bible school, and I came here, or actually, I'll back it up a little bit. Graduated Bible school, and for those of you that have kids, or remember going to school, or some of you guys have just finished school or whatnot, There's a moment, 1 week after you're done, where all you do is sleep. That's it. You veg out. You watch way too much Netflix. Right? You know what I'm talking about. Now, I did that when I finished Bible school. And that's all I did. I just vegged out. I slept in. I was exhausted. I was tired. The problem is that kept on going for another 3 weeks. And it didn't stop. And on top of that, I would like sleep in till, let's say, one in the afternoon. I was just incredibly exhausted. My brain just always felt like jello all the time. I would sleep like tremendous long hours, and I would actually come downstairs to the kitchen to get a glass of water, and just the action and the energy required to come from my bedroom to the kitchen to get a glass of water would actually totally wipe me out. No more energy. And so obviously my parents are looking at this, and I'm talking to my parents about this, and they're going, Matt, I think something's wrong. Because that actually isn't normal. Like if you're sleeping, you know, certain long hours and stuff, and then just even getting a glass of water, then you're going to the couch and you're sleeping. Most of you guys remember Pastor Dan. So this is before me coming here. I actually went out to coffee with Pastor Dan before starting here. He wants to just welcome me back from Bible school. He's like, hey, how was everything, you know? I went to that coffee shop with him, and I lasted maybe 20 minutes in that place because the lights, the noise, everything was just incredibly too much for me. And I started getting heart palpitations to some degree. I started sweating, and I didn't know why, and I went home. I was like, I can't be here. I don't feel good. Maybe I'm just tired. I don't know. Next thing I know, I'm off to the doctor's. We get some blood tests going on, and the doctor said, yeah, it sounds like you're having some burnout. Don't worry about it. All's going to be okay. All you got to do is just like exercise, eat well, and get some really good sleep, man. That's all you really need in your body. We'll just get back together. And it did. Like to this day, I still maintain some pretty strict time management rules in my life, and I have pretty strict sleep patterns, exercise, and I have pretty strict eating habits. I know Pastor Jay's like, Matt, you have no strict eating habits. Like your habit is to eat, which is true. But I still have to regiment a lot of stuff that I eat because of what happened 4 years ago. And sure enough, I started here, and what ended up happening is I realized that I was not the person I was like maybe 4, 5, 6 months ago. I was a totally different person. I didn't know why. If I had to describe myself, I would say I'm a bit confident in general. You know, I'm very outgoing. I'm a jokester kind of person. I like making jokes. But if I had to describe myself 4 years ago when I started here because of what was going on within me, I would describe myself as being incredibly distant. I would describe myself as being very shy. I would describe myself as being incredibly serious all the time. And the reason being is because within me, my whole character of who I was and all that was in me was just being crushed and just vaporized within me because of all this anxiety that was going on through me. And that anxiety kind of transferred over into an incredible amount of insomnia. Couldn't sleep anymore for long periods of time. And I can go almost 2, 3, 4, 5 days without properly getting good sleep. I remember it was here in October. I went to my very first prayer meeting, which you guys should go to in 2 weeks. But I was at my very first prayer meeting here, and it was a wonderful prayer meeting. But I ended up driving home, and I don't know what to call it, but I thought I was having a heart attack. I was driving home on the 20, and sure enough, my legs start tingling, and I can't feel my left arm anymore. I stopped breathing. I couldn't breathe. I was having a really, really tough time. Like, I opened my window, and I was debating, should I run to the hospital? Should I make it home? Like, you go back and forth. I did finally manage to get to my parents' place, and I walked in the house, and I go, Mom, Dad, I don't feel good. I know what's going on. Apparently, I was super white, and I had purple lips. We rushed to the hospital, and I had experienced my very, very first panic attack, which was really bad, apparently. Anyways, my body just totally freaked out because of it. Since that moment onwards, panic attacks have, even to this day, to some degree, are still an ongoing thing that I have to actually deal with. My body, after going to the hospital, they discovered that my adrenal glands were totally shot, and they were no longer producing any adrenaline. which is what you need to just, you know, do stuff. So I had no energy for anything. On top of that, they started doing blood tests to check my thyroid. My thyroid wasn't damaged, but it was incredibly fragile. And they're going, Matt, if things keep up, your thyroid, which controls your weight, it controls your emotions. I mean, it's like a thermometer in a sense for your emotional body, you know, for everything in you. If you're not careful, if we don't figure this out, like your thyroid is going to be completely damaged. And for some of you guys in this room, you know that when a thyroid is destroyed, there's no amount of pills that can actually change it. There's no amount of rest that can heal it. Nothing. By God's grace, my thyroid is okay, but it's still very, very, very fragile, which is why I've had to maintain very strict parameters in my life to keep myself whole and healthy. But because of that, I remember with my dad, I would go for long walks with him just to kind of stay healthy and just kind of just get outside and whatnot. And it was on multiple days in the week with my dad, I would be hunched on the sidewalk with him, and I'd be having an incredible, huge panic attack where I stopped breathing, and I would literally just be on the floor with just like, I'd be trying to catch my breath. My dad would just be praying for me, trying to encourage me, or he'd just be very patient until everything would just kind of settle. Multiple times here on Sunday morning, which I love. I love church. I love South Shore. I love you guys. So it's not your fault, but there was multiple times over the last two years, so the first 2 years of being here, where I would come here and I would be in the car driving over, having tremendous anxiety, sweat coming down, coming to the church and just sweaty everywhere. I would be talking to many of you guys, and my mind would blank. Just tremendous, tremendous social anxiety like I've never, ever experienced before. And you have to understand that this is not who I am. This is not me. I've never had this before. And I don't know why this happened, but it did. And multiple occasions, I would actually have to walk downstairs to the washroom and catch my breath because of the amount of anxiety that I would have. And so to this day, it's still very, very, very real for me. It's not as bad as it was 2 years ago. And physiologically, my body has tremendously improved. My adrenal glands are totally fine now. Even the doctor said, Matt, this is going to be about a five-year journey for you to get better. And by God's grace, I got over it they saw tremendous progress within the first year and a half. And then within the first 3 years, which is last year, I got a full clean bill of health by God's grace, which is awesome. Right? But on top of that, these are still things that I have to still struggle with every single day. So panic attacks, anxiety are still very real for me. Insomnia can be from time to time a real friend of mine where I can go full night without ever sleeping. And there's nothing I can really do about it. I run almost every day. I'm physically active. I eat very well. I try to think very positive. I'm very optimistic. But I think through all of that, especially for those first 2 years, like I was saying before, experiencing all that I was going through, that's not who I was. That's not who I am. And I remember people would say things like, Matt, when you speak, just be yourself, you know? And I would go home. This is not your fault. But I would go home, and I would drive home, or I would sit at home, and I would probably be, in a sense, in a rocking chair, kind of going back and forth. I would ask myself the question, Matt, I don't even know who I am. Because the person I was, or I thought I was, or who I was, like who I've been my whole life, that person seems to be gone. And I'm doing everything in my power to get that person back. And I don't know how. And I was just going back and forth, trying to figure things out, and it just wasn't working. So, what did I do about it? There's this one thing I have learned since becoming a Christian at 19 is I have learned to process life. The mundane stuff, the big stuff, everything in between, to process it through the lens of Scripture. I have learned that. I have worked on it. I have asked people about it, of how to do it. So my time with the Lord is not spent just to read my Bible. My time with the Lord every day is spent to process what is going on in my life. It is spent trying to figure out how I feel, how I am thinking about certain things. And one scripture that has been incredibly practical for me is in 1 Peter chapter 5. And it's a very familiar passage to many of you guys in verse 7 where it says, just cast all your anxieties on the Lord because he cares for you. It's a very tremendous, powerful verse. And it's not a verse that you just kind of post on Instagram. It's something you practically put into your life. I've learned because of this that all of my worry, my fear, my anxiety, when it is processed in the hands of God, I am healed by the truths of God. So because of this reality, my whole prayer life has tremendously changed. Now, if you have checked your emails this morning, I've actually sent a document towards you guys. And these are actually helpful resources that I would like to gift to you. And they are just different kinds of prayers and different prayer disciplines that I've incorporated into my routine of life. And the reason why they have been so helpful for me is because they have quieted my whole being down and to able to center my heart and my brain and my thoughts onto all that God is and what he does for me. So I can actually receive these healing truths that God has for me. And my prayer is that you guys would experience those things too. Now, those disciplines, they're not going to be to supplement what you already do in prayer, but there are disciplines that Christians have been using for the last 2,000 years to do and to discover the work of the Holy Spirit, and one of them being peace. And so that's my gift to you. You don't have to use all of them. You can choose one. You can work through them over a period of time. But that's my gift to you. And they're disciplines of solitude and silence, listening prayer, centered prayer. These particular prayers and these disciplines, they're not going to bring peace to you. That's not the result of them. Hence this message as well. Will not give you peace. But they will drive you to the person who can give you peace, which is Jesus Christ alone. He is the greatest physician of all. Now, my particular journey through this has been very difficult. And I can say with confidence that who I was before all of this, I can say with confidence that person is gone. My character, that individual that I knew up until the age of 24, that person, that character, he's gone. And I've come to terms with the fact that he's never coming back. And no matter how much I try, that person is never coming back. And I have learned that in the process and this healing journey of working through anxiety and insomnia and all the like, I have learned that true wholeness in Christ doesn't mean becoming or restoring who you were before, but actually becoming someone even better on the other side. Because the reality is, what I've gone through or have been going through the last 4 years, that's part of my story. I can't change that. It has done so much to me, both good and bad. I have learned tremendous things about myself, my character, and the list goes on. I can say to this day that physically speaking, I am healed. Emotionally speaking, I'm probably the best I've ever been. Spiritually speaking, I am probably the most passionate I have ever been for Jesus Christ. And I can say that with absolute confidence. I can say that my personal confidence is back. I can say that the fact that I can joke again has come back. So there are still things and characteristics of who I am deep down which has come back, which I'm incredibly grateful for. And that gets all praise to God because of it. But yes, there are moments for me personally where I still find myself in a rocking chair, going back and forth, back and forth. But I have learned the disciplines in order to be able to stop my overthinking. Now, are you an overthinker? Like, I'm a total perfectionist, utterly huge perfectionist, which causes tremendous overthinking at times. Now, it's not super crippling, as I know other people it can be. But what I have learned in the case of anxiety and panic attacks Yes, that you can get stuck in going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and you're overthinking. Let me just say this, because I've learned this myself. You're not actually overthinking. That's not the problem. The problem is that you and I have is that we're actually underthinking. We're actually underthinking the very nature of God and who He is. Because like I said earlier, this peace of God that Jesus was giving in John chapter 14, it was motivated by pure love and generosity for you and I. Do you know this God? Do you know who He is? Do the truths and the realities of a sovereign, all-loving, never-ending, all-compassionate God, is He at the forefront of your brain all the time? You know, I'm actually happy we sang that song this morning, just declaring that God is our rock. I'm a huge fan of the book of Isaiah. And there's this wonderful moment in Isaiah chapter 26 where the prophet is just, he's praying in terms of all that he's seeing before him. And he just declares this. It's on the screen if you're taking notes. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. And it says this, that you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are fixated on you because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. I have learned that our lack of peace, and my lack of peace, is not from overthinking, but underthinking the very nature of God. Do you know this God who is for you and not against you? It's freely given. It's freely given. There's no conditions to this. It's here for you. The Holy Spirit is willing and ready to give it to you. But what in the world does any of this peace look like? Like, yeah, Matt, you shared your story. Yeah, you're not fully healed. Doesn't sound very exciting. Not the kind of testimony we were hoping for. Even though I can say with confidence that I am healed, and I have the tools to get through it. But let me show you what this peace look this peace of God, what it looks like. I'm going to show you two things. Number one, it's a peace that is incredibly unshakable. Can't be taken away. It's an assurance of who God is and His character like no other. It's like a man who's a lawyer, marries a wonderful lady, raises four beautiful daughters and a baby boy. As a lawyer, opens a business and a practice, finds tremendous success. Financially speaking, the family is doing quite well because of this new venture in the business. Suddenly, the two-year-old dies. Devastated. During the mourning process, a great fire breaks out in the city. The business, the venture, destroyed. This leads for the city an incredible economic downturn, and all of their financial success is gone. Trying to grab hold of whatever they can, the lawyer and his family buy tickets to go to England, where they're from. But the lawyer has to stay behind to just finalize some stuff. So his family goes on away. They're aboard a ship called the SS Ville du Havre. On the way there, that ship, the wife, the four daughters, is hit by another ship. No time for anything. The ship goes down in a hurry. Hearing this, the lawyer is obviously very upset, has no idea what's going on. He receives a telegram. And all it says is from his wife, and it says this, saved, alone. All four of his daughters had not survived the incident. Shortly afterwards, the lawyer travels to meet his grieving wife. On the way there, on the ship, he passes by the location where the incident had occurred. Sitting and staring at what caused the greatest amount of anxiety and discomfort and stress and worry and fear that was just there in front of him, that had brought the greatest turmoil in his life, He was right there in front of him, sitting on the deck of that ship and staring at it, at evil, right in the face. He pens these words. And he calls it La Ville du Havre. He says this: when peace like a river comes my way, when sorrows like sea billows roar, whatever my lot, thou, God, has taught me to know that it is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. For me, be it Christ to live, if even the Jordan shall above me roll, no pang shall be mine, for in death as in life, your whisper, God, your peace is in my soul. That's a real song. And you know it, as it is well. It's a hymn. The peace of God is not an idea. It's tremendously true and powerful. The peace of God does not in any way avoid what's truly going on. It does not avoid reality. But it does provide true and deep courage and strength to face what is happening, what is ever keeping you in the chair, rocking back and forth, to actually be able to declare, it is well within me. Number two. This is from Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. You'll know the story. Starting in verse 25. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified Jesus. Above him it was written, "This is the King of the Jews." And they crucified two rebels with him, one on his right, one on his left. And those who passed by, they hurled insults at Jesus, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you're going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days? Come down from the cross and save yourself. Aren't you strong enough?" In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked Jesus among themselves. And he said, "Look, you can save others, but you can't even save yourself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, may he come down from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him, the rebels, also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you left me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they began to say, "Look, he's calling down the ancient prophets like Elijah to come save him." Someone, in a final attempt to insult Jesus, they ran and they grabbed a sponge, most likely from a Roman soldier, a sponge used to clean themselves up after they were done doing their business. Grabbed a sponge, put vinegar on it, and gave it to him to drink. And they said, "Now, leave him alone. Let's see if God actually responds to his cry. Let's see if Elijah, the prophet, actually comes down to save him." And in that moment, a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last breath. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion soldier who was there saw this, he stood in front of Jesus and he said, "Surely, this man was the Son of God." The reason why I read that, because the prophet Isaiah, when he's looking at this moment, in Isaiah 53, he doesn't actually see this moment himself, but he envisions it, he dreams of it. God gives him a gift to see what's really going on behind the scenes. And he declares in Isaiah 53, verse 5, that for Jesus, because he was pierced for our sin and our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought you and I peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. if you have no idea what this true peace is like, be like the lawyer on the boat. You can stare evil right in the face at Golgotha, where Jesus Christ, our Lord, paid everything out of pure love and generosity for you and I, for a peace that was incredibly unshakable, with an assurance of knowing that I am going to go through this trial of the cross and nothing, no insult will ever be able to rob me of my joy. No pain and suffering will ever be able to rob me of my assurance that my God is still with me no matter what. And the reality is that in this moment, you and I, we will not experience what Jesus experienced. He experienced the utter loss of perfect peace, which is why, now this is maybe not a theological statement in any way, but more of an image. But I almost feel like in that moment, when he's with his disciples a few hours before, he literally freely gave the greatest abundance of the peace of God to his disciples, everything he had in him. And in that moment, on the cross, he had nothing left because he had already given it all to his disciples, to you and I. That's not a theological statement. It's just an image. It's just an image. But you and I, in those moments when we're in the chair going back and forth, at the cross of Jesus is found a confidence of peace, no matter the situation, to sing, "It is well with my soul." Because you don't have to win it. You don't have to earn it. It is freely given from the King of Kings, from the Prince of Peace, from Jesus himself, and it is freely given to you and I. Are you receiving this peace? Is your heart longing for it? So worship team, you can come on up. We're going to pray. But I leave this with you. I don't know your story. I don't know what you're going through. I'm sorry this was not a sermon on 10 keys to be free from anxiety. But I'm not sorry. Because then that would put all the strength on you. And I have one job this morning, and that's to point you to Jesus. Motivated by pure love and generosity. So maybe some of us here this morning, maybe we need to rewire our understanding of who God is this morning. To actually come to a place of actually being able to trust him as our all. Motivated by pure love and generosity. Christ-centered peace is lavishly given without condition. Some of us here this morning need to get serious about receiving what Jesus has for you and I through the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's you. Motivated by pure love and generosity, Christ-centered peace is lavishly given without condition to the followers of Jesus Christ alone. Maybe this morning I've been talking about this peace. You've been trying so long in all your life to try to make it just happen yourself. I'm sorry, there's no breathing techniques, no meditation, no 10 points of how to get free of anxiety and insomnia. I'm sorry. But there is one who will give it abundantly without condition to those who commit their lives to him. And his name is Jesus. So maybe this morning you need to commit your life to him. Now it's really between you and I before Jesus. So as we sing, as we worship, I invite you, if you, I don't know if one of these three things, if that's who you are, come with someone to the front. Let's pray. Let's intercede. Let's meet Jesus. He's saying, come, all who are weary and heavy burdened, come to me and I will give you rest for your souls. Come. That's a declaration for anyone and with anything, any baggage. That's his promise to you and to me, no matter your story. So I leave the ball in your court. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you are here. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that gives an assurance and blesses us. Blesses us with a peace that we can never buy, we can never earn, but it's just freely given. We say thank you. We say thank you and we receive it with everything in us. God, because you love us. You love us with a love that we can never understand. And just like Jesus, you declared over him by your Spirit that this is my son, this is my child, whom I love with an unconditional love, and I am well pleased with him. And may that be the cry that we hear with us this morning, wherever we find ourselves, God, that you are our Father and we are your child. Oh, God, that you love us with a love that we can't even fathom. And no matter what we've done, God, it doesn't matter. You're still pleased with us because we have the righteousness of Jesus within us. And that's what you see. And we thank you, God. So for every person in the room, God, may you stir our hearts to just be able to say, Lord, I need you. And may the posture of our hearts take action on that cry. In your precious name, amen.